This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Well, somebody didn't send me the memo, but apparently it is hoodie season. As you can see, Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata with his hoodie on. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, and it's also tea and crumpet season as we welcome you in on a two-hour journey. Michael Lombardi here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. What's better than this? Even Prince William and Prince Harry agree that football in London this early is great. Good morning.
I love it. Good morning to you, Patrick. Yeah, it's good. We got action here in the book. People already watching the game. They can't enjoy it. Not to jump ahead, but the reason for the hoodie is it's really bad weather out there this morning here on the Jersey Shore. And Philadelphia, I think, is going to feel the effects of whatever this is, whether it's Ian or just some typical fall storm that we'll have here on the East Coast. But it's raining and it's very windy. So it'll be anxious to see how that plays out in a couple hours at the link.
Okay, we're going to get you updated with Michael Lombardi there. 7-0 Vikings. I'll get you updated as far as the in-game number, but you just mentioned it, so let's do this. Two games heavily impacted by rain. Jags-Phillies going to have 30 to 35 mile an hour gusts, 15 to 20 mile an hour steady winds, steady heavy rain. It is going to be gross in Philly. It may be Bills-Ravens not as bad, but the wind's going to be the same. You're going to have moderate to heavy rain, could stop in the second half. So that's important for bettors, Bills-Ravens, Michael.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, this is a marquee matchup of two quarterbacks playing at really high level. And it's going to come down to which quarterback and which run game. You know, everybody thinks, well, you know, you can't really throw the ball with the wind. I think they can. I think that obviously it'll be a little bit harder to do that. But I think this run game, whether it's Baltimore's run game or Buffalo's, I mean, Baltimore has to control the clock in this game. They've got to be able to keep Josh Allen off the sideline, and Lamar's got to be able to make plays with his feet and with his arm, which he's been doing all season long. He's playing at such a high level. Be a fun game to watch, weather notwithstanding. I don't think it's going to affect either guy. I think it'll affect how they call the game, not how they play.
Well, we look forward to the Sunday show every week, even more so when we have live balls flying there in London. Yeah. I want to welcome our Masson audience. We're going to get to the Commanders, the DMV there. I want to welcome those on Masson, those on Nesson, and those, Michael Lombardi, on the Marquee Sports Network joining us as well. Come on, man. It doesn't get better than this. Week 4, you're sitting at a casino. We're watching live football in London. What's up?
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I think a lot of this, it's great. I mean, Kamara's not playing today. And so when you watch the first drive of this game and the second Viking drive, I mean, they had control of the game. They seem like they can throw the football if they can protect Cousins in this game. And when you watch New Orleans, I think New Orleans is going to move the ball too. I think this is a game that's going to go back and forth a little bit here until one of the defenses shows that they can play and rush the passer, or one of these quarterbacks makes a mistake. Without Kamara in the game, I just think it's a hard, hard game for the Saints to go and win, because he plays so well. And as I've said earlier this week, you know, he averaged 9.6 per catch last year. This year he's down under 4. He hasn't been healthy all season. I think it's pretty clear.
Michael Thomas out as well, so I know a lot of bettors were all over Olave, over 59.5. Let's talk about where this game closed and the importance of monitoring injuries, Michael Lombardi. When Kamara was announced out, it went 3.5 to 4. 4 continues to be a key number when betting the NFL. But remember, you and I talked about this yesterday. You could have got the Vikings at the price of 3. If you bet it when we told you to bet it, you were going to lose it. The 3.5 changes everything. That's where it sat pretty much everywhere across the board this morning.
Yeah, and look, Andres Pete, they're off for the starting guard. Their left tackle, Penning, is on IR. I mean, this Saint team isn't 100% healthy. I think that's pretty clear. Dalton just got sacked. They're going to have a hard time protecting him, especially if Minnesota can stay defensively can stay ahead of the down and distance like they have. They're going to have trouble blocking Danielle Hunter, there's no doubt. James Hurst, their left tackle, he's going to be a liability, and I think we saw it last week, and that's why Winston turned the ball over. Look, New Orleans has got to keep this game under control. I mean, every possession here in the first quarter for New Orleans is critical, because you don't want to get behind 14-0 and make this an all-pass game.
Total closed at 42, Michael Lombardi. Dogs and unders continue to be productive so far through 3 weeks of the NFL season. 60% on the dogs as far as the ATS clip, 63% to the under. By the way, division unders, 14-4, hitting at a 78% clip. So let's start with the first drive for the Vikings, and then we'll get to the in-game number here. They had a touchdown called back with a pick. And then Madison took the extended third down into the end zone there.
Yeah, just caught a bubble, caught a screen. You know, they were just trying to get closer for field goal range, broke a bunch of tackles. I mean, that's what they did on the first drive.
Bad tackling.
You know, bad tackling by the Saints, and that's a problem as you go in this. Look, the Saints are hurt. I mean, there's no denying it. And the Saints have to play a certain style to win this game. They're going to have to run the ball, control the clock. This drive coming up here is really going to be critical. I would check your app to see what the Vikings are laying in this game here, because if they force New Orleans to play from behind, right, and then all of a sudden this offensive line is going to get stressed at a higher level, and they're going to have to protect Dalton. I mean, if you're playing against Dalton on your call sheet, you want it to be a 50-pass game. You want the ball in Dalton's hands a bunch. And I know it's only the first quarter, but there's a sense of urgency, you know, and especially if you're Dennis Allen and you can't get control of the Vikings offense, which is high powerful, and they can make plays, and the matchups favor the Vikings. They can feature Thielen, they get to Irv Smith, they can get to their other players, Osborne, to make plays. So, you know, and then of course you got the great Dalvin Cook and Madison, which is, I think, is an outstanding combination.
Let me give you an idea why we always say have multiple outs. Offshore, I got 9.5 with the Vikings. BetMGM, our sponsor, has 10. DraftKings is laying 11 right now in game with the Vikings. So you see the variance there, Michael, across the books.
You know, I would be inclined to take the 11. I'm not sure that the Saints, that the Minnesota's ever fully going to get control of this game. I think we'll learn a lot on this drive.
Adjusted total down to 39.5. Okay.
Yeah, I think they see that. I think they see Minnesota is going to have a hard time making explosive plays down the field. I mean, it all comes down to that, Patrick, right? You got to make explosive plays.
Absolutely.
You got to get chunk yards. Where are they going to get it? You know, they're going to double. I mean, Landry's hurt too now. Landry sucked it up and played. He left the game last week. He was injured. So, like, they're not at full speed. I think the long trip. I mean, there's a lot of things going against the Saints in this game right now.
Okay, let's talk about the big injuries, and then we can properly start to break down the games. It's generally just me and Michael on a Sunday, Thomas Gable, so 2 hours of nothing but plays. We'll get to every single game here on the Lombardi Line. Mac Jones is out. Hunter Renfrow is out. The big one, Joey Bosa, IR. Rashawn Slater, IR. Let's start with the San Diego injuries. Couldn't it be two? Those are two edges, offense and defense edges, right, Michael?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look. And that's going to be a problem for the Chargers moving forward, how they handle this left tackle. They're going to have to be very careful and protect the left tackle as he comes. It's going to be a rookie playing over there, and they've got to be really good at making sure that Herbert can stay healthy. They're going to move the football. I mean, they're going to move the ball on anybody. And I think last week when you watch Houston play defense against the Bears, who only had 8 completions in the game, I mean, Herbert will have 8 completions in the first quarter. They're going to have to be able to defend the pass, but also I think the Chargers have to pace this game a little bit and run it and take some of the pressure off that left tackle, because they've got to keep Herbert standing upright, and they got to play fast. They got to play from in front, and Khalil Mack's got to take over. I mean, Khalil Mack's got to show that he's still the same player that he once was. It's going to be interesting to see. The line is moving, though. Dramatically, it's moving. It was at 5.5. It went down. It touched 5. In the contest, it's 5. Now I see a lot of sixes out there, Patrick. People are playing the Chargers.
You nailed the number. And again, key number of 6. The Chargers are laying it at Houston. Michael, if we talk about the Lions, who are favored for the first time in, 28 games? If we talk about the Lions, their strength is a very prolific offense. Their defense stinks. They're hosting Seattle today. Well, guess what? Their offense just got worse, because they're going to be without DJ Chark, Ross St. Brown, and DeAndre Swift. Essentially, they're 3 best players on offense.
No doubt, no doubt. And, I mean, that's where it all starts. I mean, it starts, and Swift really gets them going. Williams is a good back, but I like Williams when he's able to play kind of in an off, kind of as a rotational guy where they need some power, they put him in. Swift makes it go. Remember, the back makes it. Now, without Chark and without St. Brown, I mean, that really puts a lot of pressure. The key to this game is going to be Seattle's got to find a pass rush somewhere. I mean, look, Seattle last week didn't even get close to Mariota. I mean, it was he was moving the ball up and down the field. This is going to be, I think this could be a back-and-forth type of game, because I'm not sure either defense is ever going to get control of the game.
Swift is a difference maker.
He
you know, there are certain players, like you love a Kamara, who I think his off-the-field stuff could be affecting him as well, but there are certain players that just are difference makers, and Swift is one of those.
No doubt. And it makes it, because he could do it, because he's a weapon. He's just not a receiver. He's a weapon. And he's able to make plays with the ball, in the running game, in the passing game, and that's why they're averaging almost 32 points a game. I mean, think about that, Patrick. They're averaging 32 points a game.
It's insane.
You know, and they're rushing for 170 yards a game. Think about that now. I mean, Detroit can run this, and it's all because they can protect, they can block. They're good up front. Make no mistake about it. They're good up front.
They're really good.
Now, the problems come into where they go on defense. I mean, how that works and what happens on defense, that's really what happens. And if they can, and last week they blew coverages. I mean, last week they're playing Minnesota. They're trying to play man-to-man against them, and they can't get control of it. So, you know, and they give up free access touchdowns. I don't know who just got hurt from Minnesota, but somebody just got carted off.
Yeah, we had a delay in the game. Yep, somebody carted off there. I'll
Detroit,
get the update.
I mean, Detroit runs the ball, but they can't stop the run. This game for Minnesota, they've got to run the ball because Minnesota, when you break Minnesota down, even though they don't give up a lot of points, they give up a lot of yards. They've only given up 18.3 points a game, but they give up a ton of yards.
Yeah, Detroit has two hindrances once the game starts. That's the head coach in game with decision making and the defense. As much as people want to jock the head coach, he's not good in game. He'll get better as hopefully his career progresses. Okay, fascinating. Maybe the line of the year. Washington.
Yeah.
The Commodores, your boys
got a lot
at
of,
Dallas.
Got a lot of stuff for the Masson audience when we come back on this.
When we come back.
I've been working on trying to figure out what the heck is going on here on this. Cousins
How about
just
this?
Threw a pick.
Yep, we got a pick going the other way. New Orleans is going to have the ball when we come back. I'll get you set up with the in-game. How about this? BetMGM's reporting 80% of the tickets, 80% of the money, yet we're still sitting three. Again, on Dallas,
I know why.
Yet we're sitting three.
I know why.
You've got an answer coming back. You're a broadcast professional. It's a Sunday here on VSiN.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the VSiN NHL season prep guide. I actually just caught Michael Lombardi during the break of the NFL game reading the NHL prep guide. He's into it. All 32 teams previewed. Annie McNeil. Also, for new bettors, and this is important, we're going to help you understand betting the NHL and betting hockey. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Honestly, it's a great guide. It'll win you some money. It's the NHL season guide. Michael
bet
Lombardi
the under.
There.
Bet the under. That's my advice for hockey. Bet
Mike
the under,
Tomich.
I guess. First, bet the under. Yeah, bet the first period unders. That's all I'll say. That's my tip.
Anywho,
don't ask me any more about hockey.
We've got, of course, we've got football live. Minnesota's up 7-0, a bad pick by Cousins. So here comes Dalton. Maybe you can settle him down a little bit. I'm in market with the Vikings laying 7, a total of 39.5. Again, yeah. This number's all over the place. What are you seeing here, Michael?
Well, I just think Minnesota's never going to get control of this game. I think this is always going to be a back-and-forth game, even though New Orleans is injured. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. And you worry about Cousins when he makes a mistake. Does he dwindle down a little bit? You know, he's got enough players on the offensive weaponry to make plays. It's just that they can't really get control of the game. Where they get control, they play really good in the red zone. Then they play good on third down. It's just hard to get them in third down. You know, when you allow teams to move the ball at a rapid rate on them like they're doing, now they got them in a third down. They try to run toss crack, and they didn't seal the edge, and all of a sudden now we got a third and eight. And this is when Minnesota's defense comes alive. It did last year. They were seventh in the NFL last year in third down defense, even though they were one of the worst defenses in football. This is where they do it. That's why they give up so many yards, but they haven't given up a lot of points.
Okay, here's what I want from you for in-game bettors. If something happens in the game where you notice a flow or a sea change in the game, just interrupt me and ask me what the live number is. I'll give it to you, and maybe we can find an opportunity for bettors to jump in there. This is for our Masson audience, Michael Lombardi, and this is the line in your article you wrote about, and you've been talking about it here on the Lombardi Line, that has just befuddled you all week. The Cowboys hosting the Commanders. The Commanders played maybe the worst game of the year against the Eagles, the worst half of the year against the Lions. They don't defend the run very well. They're even worse at protecting the quarterback, and here comes a team in the Cowboys that do both very well. Now, 79% of the tickets at BetMGM on the Cowboys, 80% of the money, yet we haven't gone to 3.5. What the hell is happening here with the Cowboys laying 3 hosting the Commanders?
So I was told this morning by somebody very reliable that there has been a lot of high, powerful bettors that have been playing this game, taking the Commanders in offshore betting, and have starting on Monday, and have moved it around from different offshore shops. And it's all been the sharps whomever they are, and some of them are international, what I was told this morning, is, and they've played enormous sums of money, over a $500,000 on the Commodores. I don't know why, but they have. And they just have a feeling about this, and it's just been pouring in. So even though all the money we see here, the offshore numbers, again, offshore shows you what's going to happen onshore, right? It's kind of the peak. And that has influenced it. And because the offshore isn't moving any of their numbers, the onshore is not going to move any of their numbers, which is why this is happening. I would love to ask whomever these sharps are behind the Wizard of Glass what they see in this game, because I don't see it. I see Dallas. I maybe have Cooper Rush higher than they do, but I see the strength of Dallas, which is their front, attacking the weakness of Washington, which is their offensive line. I see a Washington team that in the last two games in the first half have gone 12 series and punted and have turned the ball over in the other two. So 14 series, they've got 12 punts and they have and two turnovers, and they haven't scored a point. So, like, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but that's why. Money drives all of this. And somebody has an algorithm out there, more than somebody, significant someone, is betting it offshore and betting a lot of money. And because of it, that's why the line is staying where it is.
Okay, couple of things. One, again, bad combination. The Cowboys run the ball well. Washington can't stop the run. The Cowboys rush the passer. There's nobody worse at protecting the passer, maybe Cincinnati right now, than the Commanders. Again, yesterday it was 3.5 at a few shops. I just told you everybody at BetMGM is betting the Cowboys, yet to Michael's point, we're now seeing threes across the board, the key number when betting in the NFL. That tells you whether it's offshore, whether it's Prince Harry in England, whoever's putting this money down, the number's not budging, and it is a perplexing number with the Cowboys just laying three.
And their defense, Patrick, I mean, look, their defense, you know, they are
tremendous.
They are good, but, I mean, look, the Washington football team defensively is 28th in points per play. I mean, this defense has not been good for 3 years, you know, and I'm sure Washington football fans know this. I mean, I'm not telling them something they don't know. I mean, they've been poorly coached for 3 years. Nobody says anything about it. I mean, Ron Rivera's had three winning seasons in 11 years, and we treat him as he's George Halas. You know, I just finished the book on the top 10 coaches in the NFL. I'm shocked I didn't write Rivera in there the way he gets treated. I mean, he's had three winning seasons. I mean, at some point, you got to win. At some point, your team's got to look organized and detailed. And I think if you're a Washington football fan who remembers the great Joe Gibbs, this looks nothing like the Joe Gibbs teams that were coached.
No, I would 100% agree with you. And remember, the most important aspect of the Lombardi line on Sunday is juxtaposing Michael's number that he comes up with to the market. So let's go ahead and throw that up. The Cowboys are laying three. Yeah. Your true number is closer to 6.5.
Which set off sparks, right? And I didn't understand it. And so what I think this, and this is, we had a long conversation, Thomas Gable and I and a bunch of the sharps here in the book this morning. And I think this is an important lesson. And when there's something that doesn't look right, it's okay to walk away from it. Like, my ego isn't involved that I have to be right. Like, I'm taking the approach that I'm missing something in this game. Like, I have not given out today. I gave out four picks to Bill AD on the morning newsletter. Washington, Dallas, that game's not going to be one of them. Because I just don't feel like I'm missing something in this game. Somebody knows more than I know. And I don't know if it's, but if it proves to be right, if the Commanders win, then okay, they were right. But if Dallas wins, I'm not going to be regretting that I didn't play it, because to me, this has got too much red flags to the game. Big third down
Michael's
coming
talking
up here, Patrick.
Yeah, big third down with New Orleans. It looks like it's third and goal on maybe the 7 of Minnesota, somewhere around there. It looks like maybe the 5, actually, of Minnesota.
Five.
So let's walk through this play. We've got Dalton dropping back and Dalton connecting for a touchdown. I didn't see to whom, but we do have a touchdown. So pending.
See, that's really a bad play, because the you can't give away the goal
Olave.
Line in the red zone. You can't give away the goal line. So Minnesota's linebacker sits deeper than the goal line, right? Because he's trying to play off the number one receiver. You can see it here. They're in a 3-by-1 set, right? And so the inside guy runs, so he's holding it off, and the crosser comes in, and you got to be able to set on the goal line, because what you want to do is you don't want to give him the goal line. You don't want to give him the goal line, and they do. And so you've got – you're too far back to really make the play, and it's – and it's a – and then the combination works. And so now, you, now you've given up the four-point play, and you have no pass
remember,
rush. So
that's,
we got to get back
in the game.
That's
off the Cousins interception. That's off the Cousins interception as well, Michael. So
right.
A complete shift in momentum in this game, right?
No, no doubt. And Cousins got to get it back. And they've got to find a way to get their run game going a little bit here. They've got to take some of the pressure off of Cousins because he can make some throws, but they got to get their run game going. And we've got to see what Jefferson could do. They got Lattimore matched up on Jefferson, so that's going to be an interesting look-see. And I think the ball's going to continue to go to Thielen and Irv Smith and Osborne.
Okay, we'll get you caught up on the live number, but we do have a 7-7 tie in London. Vikings Saints Commanders 1-4 ATS their last five meetings in Dallas. The over, how about this? The over is 10-3 the last 13 between the Commanders and Cowboys. Over is 7-0 in the last seven meetings in Dallas. The reason I bring that up is because I told you division unders are 14-4 thus far in the early season, hitting at a 78% clip, and we've seen the Washington Dallas total drop from 43 down to that key number of 41. But again, what we're obsessed with is the three. Dallas lane
well,
the three. Just
look,
can't get away from
Dallas,
it.
Dallas is one of the better teams in points per play defensively. They only give up 17.3 points a game, you know, in terms of that. I mean, Tampa's the best by far. They only give up 9 points per play. I mean, think about that. That's why, to me, and San Francisco's at 12-3. Denver's another good defensive team. To me, it's all about points per play. How many points? Because yards are not real. Yards are, you have to kind of break them down. Who's the opponent when we're getting these yards? And so that's what strikes me. Like, how is Washington, which couldn't score against a bad Detroit defense in the first half, which didn't score against Philadelphia at all in the entire game? Now, they moved the ball against Jacksonville at home, but I think a lot of it was more Jacksonville than it was. Jacksonville had some breakdowns. To me, somebody sees something. Wentz runs into sacks. Wentz is one of those quarterbacks, Patrick, that if you really want to boil down what's his number one weakness as a player, it's really he's not an instinctive guy, especially in the pocket where he doesn't feel it and he can't move around and slide right to his left or to his right.
The key number of three, it's sitting there. Now, it is juiced on the Cowboys, so could be headed to 3.5. If you want to bet the Cowboys, go ahead and hit it right now. When we come back, Michael Lombardi, a weather game, Buffalo at Baltimore, another key number of 3 with Buffalo laying it. So we'll come back and discuss that one for our Masson audience as well. Also, don't forget, Mac Jones is out. Nesson will get to your Patriots in a little bit. I must say, 25 minutes into the show, and Michael Lombardi's pad level is perfect as we continue. We'll get you caught up with the in-game on the Saints and Vikings as well. Cheerio.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we love ExpressBet when it comes to horse racing, and here are the top horse racing plays from ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plonk at Churchill. In race 7, Jeremy has the 4-horse destined to race at 8-1 on the morning line. Santa Anita in race 9, Jeremy Plonk has the 8-horse Berate on top at 5-1. Couple good prices there. Bet those races and more at FirstBet. VSiN's preferred horse racing app. You can get $10 free right now when you sign up. Also, if you use the code HORSE200, you get matched up to $200. It's a great deal. They use artificial intelligence. They've got all the tracks covered. VSiN.com/horses for details. That's VSiN.com/horses for details. Good morning, and hope you're having a nice weekend as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's go quickly to Michael Lombardi before we get to the Bills-Ravens here and talk about what he's seen. It looks like the Minnesota drive has stalled.
Well, I mean, Minnesota's got to change what they're doing here a little bit. Like, they can't protect. And so when they get in these third down situations, both O'Neal and Darrishaw is not protecting. And it puts a lot of pressure on their passing game. So they've got to take a Canadian approach, what I call play CFL offense. Try to get first downs and two downs. Stay out of third down. And I think their play calling on second down has really not been very good. You know, they have a big run, and then they come back with another run. Now they put themselves in third down. Like, I hate third and manageable. I think it's one of the worst nomenclatures in all of football. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, we want to get first downs on two downs. And I think that's their approach. And they've got to be able to stop getting Cousins hit, because we know this. The more Cousins gets hit, the less effective he plays. And so this game is going to melt away from Minnesota if they don't do that.
I'm way too busy to be Googling big words like nomenclature, Michael Lombardi, so you take it easy over there. Okay, so if if based on the information you just gave me, let me give you the number in game. Remember, this got as high as Vikings 11. Vikings are laying 2.5 offshore, and DraftKings has got Vikings laying 3 right now. Do you have a vibe?
Right now, I would take the Saints in the 3. I would have taken the Saints in the 11. I mean, right now the Saints have control of the game. The score's tied, but they have control of the game because the front of the Saints is dominating the front of the Vikings, and that's the essence of the game. Now, O'Connell's going to have to make some adjustments. He's going to have to figure this out. He's going to have to go back in there and say, okay, here's how we got to work this game. We're going to have to protect inside out. We're going to have to keep it so that we're not in these third downs, and we're going to do a better job. We're going to have to chip on some of these ends. We can't be 5 out. You know, this is the big problem. I mean, if you can't protect, does it matter that you get 5 out? No, of course not. So we got to stop looking at the play sheet and start adjusting the game.
Great matchup for our Masson audience there in Baltimore today. I mean, outside of one quarter, the Ravens have been awesome this year. The Bills, you know, you look at the market, they're ahead in every market as far as, you know, Josh Allen and winning a Super Bowl, whatever you want to look at. So let's set this up. This is a weather game, Michael Lombardi, 15 to 20 mile an hour winds, gusts up to 30 miles an hour. It's going to rain in the first half. It could clear up in the second half, but this is going to be pretty steady rain. You got the Bills laying 3 here at the Ravens.
And this line surprisingly hasn't moved very much at all. Like, it's been pretty static all week, right? I think it's moved to 3.5. It's come back down. And look, I think Tucker's one of the reasons why you never see the line move too far away from Baltimore, because he can make kicks from everywhere. I don't really care about the weather. I think a lot of this is going to come down to the injury report, right? You know, now they think Ronnie Stanley could play left tackle. That could be huge for them. If they can get Ronnie Stanley back, that could really help Lamar out as they kind of get this offense going. I mean, as great as Buffalo played this year, the number one offense in all of football is Baltimore. I mean, think about that. The number one offense in terms of points scored is Baltimore. Now, their defense is horrendous. They're 32nd in yards allowed. But a lot of this is, can they stay healthy? Is Marcus Peters, he was healthy at the end of the week, so he's going to play. Dobbins is supposed to play. He's a full go. We'll see. The issue is Buffalo's injury report, which is numerous, right, which is completely huge. And I think it's going to be, wonder whether you see it. We know Benford's out. We know Jordan Phillips, their big defensive tackle's out. Can Ed Oliver play? He's been limited all week with an ankle that he got opening day, so that's an issue. So I think, to me, a lot of this, the reason the line hasn't moved is because of the injuries in Buffalo. And the fact, too, Patrick, is their two safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Pyre, are the three players that make Buffalo's defense great. I know everybody wants to say it's Von Miller. It's really Poyer, Hyde, and Matt Milano. And those guys make it, right? It's the middle of their team, and that's where Baltimore wants to throw the ball. If they don't have Poyer and they don't have Hyde, they won't have Hyde, you know, that puts a lot of stress on their defense.
Our buddy Stephen Bond, big Bills fan, saying it looks like Poyer is going to give it a go. Gabe Davis and the tight end Dawson Knox also expected to play. They're going to be hampered as the Bills try to get healthy here. Josh Allen leads the NFL in passing yards. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in touchdown passes. Those are your two MVPs right now. I mean, the quarterbacks could not be playing better.
They're playing great.
This is, and you just mentioned, I just saw one shop, and that is ours. DraftKings just went to 3.5. But outside of that, Michael, as you mentioned, everybody's pretty much 3. However, if you want to bet Buffalo, they're juiced to 120. That number's headed to 3.5.
Right. And here's the game, right? So this game is fun to watch, for especially as we move forward in the NFL. This is a single wing 2020 version. It's two quarterbacks that want to run the football, that the running game is centered around what their skill set is. Now, Josh Allen hasn't run as much. He's got 19 carries in 3 games, which is a little less than typical. But, you know, he leads the team in rushing yards with 113. Same thing with Lamar. You know, they're able to run. Lamar runs more dedicated runs than Josh Allen does, but I could see Josh Allen today being a more dedicated runner, because I think that's really where they get their offense going. Because if you're going to give the ball to Zach Moss or you're going to give it to Singletary, it's not as effective. And I think this game's going to come down to which team plays the run the best and which team defends the run, runs the ball the best, because that's really who's going to get control of the game.
The total 54.5 down to 50. A lot of that has to do with the weather. Let's talk about the implications as far as the weather. It's going to be nasty there in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it's going to be swirling winds, and you've got two quarterbacks who throw the ball with great velocity and can cut through the wind, but is it going to be catchable balls? You know, that's always the question when you're dealing with Josh Allen. Can you catch his balls? You know, can you catch that fastball that he throws really good? He's done a great job of tempering it down a little bit, but that's a hard thing to do with this wet, sloppy conditions that we're going to see. And the ball's going to be on the ground. I mean, that's what happens in these games. The ball slips out. Who protects the ball? I think it's a field goal game. I lean towards taking the right. Do I think the Ravens win? I don't know who wins. I think taking the home dog is always a good play in this game.
Props, Jackson passing yards 229.5 at BetMGM. Allen passing yards 286.5. Again, like Michael said, those two are going to look to run in this nasty weather as well. The separation with these two teams, and then we'll move on to Philly and Jacksonville. The separation with these two teams, Bills and the Ravens, long term, what separates these two?
Well, Bills have a better defense, but the defense isn't healthy. I mean, they have the better defense, but without the two safeties, which really make the defense, and without their corner situation, they play a lot of quarter coverage, right? They understand how to hide their corners and what they do. So, you know, and their safeties are so reliant on making plays in the run, making plays in the pass, and controlling the middle of the field, which is where Baltimore and Lamar Jackson wants to throw the football. That's where they're really good. That's why Mark Andrews is so dominant in the passing game, because they want to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Look, and I think that ultimately, you know, that's going to pay. That's why I think they lost last week to Miami. I mean, the throw he makes, Tua makes in the back of the down the middle on 3rd and 22, you know, it was a great throw, but had Poyer or Hyde been in the game, I think it would have been picked off. I really do. And I don't mean to take anything away from Tua, but I think it would have been picked off. I think that's the key. That's going to be the key today. You know, you got to like Baltimore with their tight end situation, Mark Andrews against the safety. Even if Pryor plays, is he going to be 100%? And see, that's the question. They play, but they're not always the best.
Minnesota coming back the other way. It seemed like there was a concerted effort there for New Orleans on that last drive to establish a run. 3:42 yeah. to go in the second. 7-7 tie here. Here's Cousins dropping back. You take yeah, it from and there, I, and Michael. I think, look, establishing yeah, the yeah, run well, there with the Saints.
Well, I mean, look, they tried to get a matchup in this game. They got the fullback on a wheel route, and it didn't hit. But they're trying to use – they got to go back to their drop-back pass, their play-action pass game. You know, what happens to this team is if they get behind Minnesota with this – the way they're built in the offensive line, and this goes back to Kubiak, it goes back to Stefanski, how they're built, these offensive linemen are not great drop-back pass protectors. And so when they get into these situations, it becomes a problem. You know, and it becomes a real issue. Now they're in 11 personnel, and they got the tight end in the game. And so now they got, you know, here we are, third and manageable. Oh, great. Here we go again. Oh, really? Yeah, we're going to get it back. We're going to run outside zone to the 3-by-1 side. Oh, great. Now we're in 3rd and 9. Good luck. Here we go.
Walk us through it. So it's 3rd and 8 for Minnesota. Walk us through what
you're seeing. 3rd and 9. So now you got Dennis Allen has played the last 2 3rd downs. He's just rushed 4. Because he's like, why would I give them any opportunity to have easy windows to throw the ball into when they can't block my guy, when they can't block my two edges, whether it's Davenport or Jordan? So here we go again, and you know Kurt's looking at it. Of course, they're in 4-by. They're out in complete empty. This makes complete sense, right? Let's go to empty because we can't block anybody. We'll throw it quick, you know, and here they go, you know, and he's going to have to make a play, and he did, you know, and so that's what happens. And so they're able to get the ball inside to Thielen, but to me, you're not going to make a living doing this. You're not going to make a living doing this. You got to be able to get the ball out quick. You got to win on earlier downs.
First down, Minnesota Vikings, right around the 45.
They played man. They rushed 4, and Thielen won the round.
The worst weather game today is going to be in Philly, near Michael Lombardi there. The Jags at Philly. That also happens to be a top 4 matchup in Michael Lombardi's power rankings. He has Jacksonville 4. And he has the Eagles 2, and that game is next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Michael is freaking out. Kevin O'Connell's family should not be listening to The Lombardi Line. Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM. Place a 1-game parlay wager with at least 4 legs. If all the legs hit but one, you're going to get your stake back up to $25. It's a great deal. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Go to BetMGM.com right now. Got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER. Not available Mississippi, Nevada, New York. We're back. Lombardi Line, VSiN. What are you seeing here? You're freaking out during the break.
Well, this happens all the time. I mean, it's just the ridiculous that you watch these games and these coaches are making $5, $6, $7 million and they'd ignore the clock, right? And so, you know, you start the drive off. As I said, you got it there. Incomplete pass. We just stopped the clock again. Okay, so you got to start this drive off. It's 1:58 to go in the game. You got the ball in the red zone, okay? You got two objectives here going into the game. You want to be able to get points, and you don't want them to have any time to have points, okay? So that's the two objectives. So you start the drive off. They did a good job. This is a drop on the receiver. You start the drive off with a 9-yard run. Perfect, okay? Now, you got three timeout. He's got three timeout. He don't want to call a timeout yet. Okay, let the clock go all the way down. You don't need timeouts. You don't need any of your timeouts. Let the clock go all the way down to 1 second, call timeout. All right? Now, get back in a huddle. All right, here's our best play coming forward. Here's our next best run. So they run it. Let's get it. We got to get a first down here so we can keep the ball. We get the first down, but they run it, don't get anything. So Dennis Allen calls timeout. Now, Dennis Allen, by calling that timeout, basically said to them, you're going to have to run it again. You're going to have to run it again. And so they come up with a run pass option kind of play where it was a control pass. But that mismanagement of that, it just messes the whole thing up. Like, you have three timeouts. You don't need to rush. They snapped the ball with 12 seconds left to go on the play clock. So what do we have left on the game now? I don't know how much time, but you should deduct 12 seconds. We should have 48 seconds left. But, see, people say it's no big deal. Okay. See if New Orleans scores at the end of the half, how much time's left, if those 12 seconds don't come back. This is what drives me crazy about, and it drives me crazy. And the guys in the booth, which is why I mute it, they don't even pay attention to it. They could care less about it. I'm sure. Is that Mark Sanchez? I'm sure he could care less about it. Like, that's how you lose games. I'm watching Arizona play Colorado. Colorado can't play. I mean, they're horrible last night. They can't play any defense, right? Of course, we get the ball back with 2:05 to go. Now it's college rules. We throw three passes, we punt the ball like we're the 64 Packers, and they scored end of half. We could have gone into halftime 26-6. Instead, we go into halftime 26-13. And you say, why? Stupidity, because we call the game like we're an offensive coordinator. That's what O'Connell just did there. He called the game like an offensive coordinator.
And he left a minute four
ranting
on the clock for Andy Dalton in New Orleans. Perfect. Your rant just went from the Vikings and Saints in London to Colorado Buffalo football. That's Michael Lombardi for you. 3.5 is the updated number in game. You can lay it with the Vikings. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, this is what I want to see. This is why I turn on football, so I can see him put the grass on the field. Like, seriously, that's why we put the games on. It's unbelievable. And then I love the interviews at halftime. I love those where we just sit there and talk. I mean, that's just what I want. Anyway, go ahead, Patrick. I apologize.
Okay, minute four to go in the half here. Dalton drops back. See, now they get a sack on Dalton. They recover a fumble. So now Minnesota on the Saints 20 is going to have an opportunity to score here with 58 seconds to go.
Yeah. So again, for me there, all right, again, I blame Minnesota here. Minnesota is, if they go in at 10-7 at the half, great. They get the ball to start the half, right? So what do you want to do here? You want to start the clock. Now, there's all different kinds of two-minute offenses, right? We never talk about this on television. There's slow two-minute, there's medium two-minute, and there's really fast two-minute, right? And so you're in a 58 seconds left to go, so you basically might have seven plays to go. So let's throw a screen on first down. Let's get the chains moving. Let's see where we go. Let's see what we get going. But we throw a drop back pass and hold the ball, and we get sacked. It looks like it's not really our fault, but it really is our fault. You know, and that's managing the game. That's what's called managing the game. This is, we all think managing the game is, oh, what do we kick here? Do we go for it on fourth down? No, managing the game is understanding the flow of the game. So now we're going to give up 3 points here. You know, we're going to give it up.
What are you seeing here as there's 47 seconds?
I lost my thing on the screen, so I don't know. I lost my screen, so I lose it.
It'll be second and long.
Now I see it up there, second and long. Did Minnesota call timeout? They should have called timeout there.
Yes, they did actually call a timeout. There's no reason not to right there, right? Nope.
Yeah,
they did not call the timeout. My goodness. So the clock continues, second and 10, 26 seconds to go.
Minnesota, I mean, that's just, on again, New again, 20. We got to call timeout there. We got to call timeout there. Now we get sacked. No, he throws the ball away. I mean, like, see, this is just, like, why would you give away time? Why are we now playing it? Like, we got to get the ball in the end zone here. Like, how many plays are left? This is what drives me crazy, Patrick. When you look at the play clock, you must look at how many plays are left in the game, not how much time's left. That's important. So by not calling timeout there, we gave them plays. We just said, here, take more plays, please.
It was very benevolent of the Vikings. They should have called
timeout. Yeah, go ahead, take them. We don't want to run all these plays. We don't need them all, you know. We don't need all these plays. Here, you take them. So now we're in third and 10, and so now he can't, you know, don't take a sack here because I don't want to make this a long field goal when we miss it, right? I don't know what that was.
The play was called dead. And Cousins grounds the ball. Looks like it's going to be a penalty. I think it's going to be a false start on Minnesota. They're going to back up five here as they – oh, my goodness. The mismanagement of the clock from O'Connell on the last drive and this drive is – it really –
he's just calling plays.
Yes,
he's just calling plays. But nobody's managing the game. See, they think managing the game is, okay, should we punt? Should we kick? No, managing the game is setting it up. Like, I'm watching Kent State play a game yesterday, and they got the ball 118 to go in the fourth quarter, in the second half. That, you know, he calls a pass, guy gets stripped, fumble. That should have been a run there. You got to run it there. Like, this is what people don't understand. You know, and even if it works out, it doesn't work out.
And that's going to fall well short, 8 seconds
to go. But that's fine. Who called timeout? All right, they didn't. They're going to take it all the way down to the play clock, and we got a 3 free points, so.
Okay, so 3 points
I don't
here.
Want to rant.
However, you left a lot of points on the field if you're Minnesota. The drop touchdown pass, you come back the other way, mismanage the clock, which forces you to speed up a little bit here, and they're only going to get 6 when they potentially could have gotten 14. Let's just clear. Be very clear about that.
They could. And but you know, at least now New Orleans lost the middle 8. So when you review the game, you say, how did we lose the game? If they lose by 3 – you know, they lost the game because they mismanaged the middle 8. Because once again, that call, that first and 10 call, all of a sudden we're going to be an explosive offense and we got Tommy Brady back there. Like, if we run it there or throw a screen there and we get the clock going, now all of a sudden we'll see what we're going to do. Like, why do we have to throw a drop back pass and hold the ball at that point?
We'll get you the second half number coming up
it
here as
it.
Time expires. The field goal is good. We're going to go to the break. Minnesota up 13-7, should be up more. As we head to the half in London, I just want to, as part of the team here, I want to extend an apology to Kent State football for being dragged into that scuffle. That was Kent State. You did nothing wrong. That was just Michael Lombardi's.
I'm watching the games.
Rant.
What do you think? That's what you do when you watch games with no sound. You manage the game. That's part of this whole thing. This is what we're not getting from broadcasters in the game. They're too busy talking about outside leverage of the corner. They're talking about, no, we want to talk about the game. It's chess on grass. Like, what's the strategy here? What's the adjustments? What's happening within this game that you're seeing that has to change? Minnesota, halftime, what are they doing? Watch Hubie Brown do a basketball game. He coaches both teams. It's the greatest thing in sports. He coaches both sides. Here, I like this, what we're doing here. I don't like that. If I'm Minnesota, I go in at halftime. I'm like, look, I'm Kevin O'Connell. I go to all my offensive coaches. We need a long list of second down calls. I want to play Canadian football. I want to get a bunch of second down calls. I want to have our best play action passes on first down. I want to get 5 or 6 drive starters. We got to get that together. Defensively, we've got to make sure that they don't get in first down. We got to win first down in the game. Force Dalton to have pressure, right? The third quarter is going to determine this game. If we can get the lead and make Dalton play from behind, we'll win the game.
Kent State and Hubie Brown within a 6-minute span. Let's go ahead and throw up the power rankings. Before we go to the top, I'll get you the second half number. We've got a 2-4 matchup today with the Eagles in Jacksonville. The rain is going to be very steady and very heavy, and the gusts are going to be up to 35 mile an hour. So that's going to be nasty weather there. You've got Philly laying 6.5, Michael. We'll start capping it. We'll come back and continue.
Yeah, I mean, two good defenses too now. Jacksonville's 4th in the league in points per play. Philly's 7th in the league in points per play. And weather is going to be a factor here. Why? Because the field is going to be sloggy. And these defenses are fast. These defenses rely on the speed of their front 7. That's where they get. They have defenses that set the edge outside in. And so because of their speed and because of their ability, the sogginess of this field is going to slow the game down a little bit. And I'm not saying it's going to be less points, but it's going to slow down the speed and the effectiveness of both units.
Okay, second half number, I got it. Minnesota's laying 0.5 point, and the total is 21. Got 30 seconds. What do you think? Minnesota laying 0.5.
I probably would pass on that number. I would wait till the first drive of the second half, and I would take the over on 21. I think both teams will score.
21, 110 up and down. Again, it's a 13-7 Minnesota lead.
I mean, I'm not good on the overs, so don't listen to me on the overs. You know, I'm like Kevin O'Connell calling plays on the overs. I'm not good on that one.
Jags Philly next, Lombardi line.